Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard. Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Milky Way Mixer. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, New Orleans to New Jersey, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How are we doing, everybody? Good Tuesday to you. Tis a trash Tuesday. Who are you trashing today? We will take out our trashes at 40 minutes past the hour. We will accept your trashes throughout the morning. So hit me up with those trashings on Twitter, DA on CBS, and on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheDA Show. What a show coming up for you. Coming up next hour, we've got former WNBA star, really legend of the WNBA, Tamika Catchings. She will join us here on the show. We'll talk NBA draft with Tamika coming up next hour. Also, in the third hour of the show, how about the Human Victory Cigar? Brian Scalabrine is going to join us in studio. He's a Celtics analyst for NBC Sports in Boston. We'll get his thoughts on the Celtics, perhaps going after LeBron, Kawhi, maybe staying put. What does Boston do? Plus, he's part of the Big Three. Co-captain of the Ball Hogs.
That's very good, Damon.
And he's going to join us in studio. How about 10 questions with Brian Scalabrine here on the airwaves? Where else would you rather be? Oh, yeah. We've got Bryce Harper stirring controversy in the Bronx. We've got the NBA kicking the tires on revolutionizing the foul fest of the end of games. And we've got the Stanley Cup champions parting ways with their coach 11 days after hoisting the cup. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. That's all coming up this morning here on the show. As always, you can hit me up on the phones on any of those topics or anything else that you want to jump into at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Let's begin with the NBA draft, okay? Because the NBA draft comes your way on Thursday. And right now, the Phoenix Suns are on the clock. And right now, there is a question about what to do at number one. Do the Suns stay put? Do the Suns trade out and collect picks because they need talent a lot of places? Do the Suns use number one and then trade up somewhere else in the lottery? And if at number one is where they go, do they decide to go with a guy that's in their backyard? A big man with skill, but who had a controversial ending to his college season DeAndre Ayton. Ayton is a big man. Ayton is the type of guy that it feels like the NBA is perfectly suited for. In his only college season at Arizona, 20 points and 11.6 rebounds. He can step out and shoot. He can run the floor. He's a big man with grace and athleticism. And he's a guy that could be getting better because he began his life and his career outside of the U.S. And so he only got that stateside coaching recently. If you are the Phoenix Suns, could you pass on DeAndre Ayton? A guy that began his life in the Bahamas, was obviously very raw, came to the States for coaching, and is now in your backyard, except there's questions about maturity. There's questions about how he will handle stardom, and maybe questions about how he will handle a transition to a life where he doesn't really get out of his cocoon, which is that area of the country and specifically that state. Could the Suns at number one on Thursday possibly pass on DeAndre Ayton? It is where we begin. It is your cold open.
Somebody who looks like he's physically ready down the line to be a right-handed version of David Robinson. 20-12-2 as a college freshman. And here's something that I think is important to point out. DeAndre Ayton put up those numbers, and Arizona was a team last year that played 2 7-footers together up front in DeAndre Ayton and Dusan Ristić. You guys obviously know when you play 2 7-footers together, there's more clutter, there's not as much spacing. It makes it more impressive to me that he got those type of numbers.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was college basketball insider John Rothstein on with Taz and the Moose earlier this morning. Look, DeAndre Ayton checks a lot of boxes. 7 feet tall, 260 pounds. In today's NBA, you can play him in the post, but obviously big men don't just stand down there. They also need to be able to spread the floor, shoot from the outside, and people believe that with his skill set and coaching, he can develop a more consistent outside shot, draw defenders out there, and like some of the other bigs, Karl-Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, and others, he can be that next version. And at 7 feet, a guy that averaged 22 points and 12 rebounds, or 20 points and 12 rebounds and 2 blocks a game, and his defensive acumen is very intriguing as well, that it's impossible to pass on him. I do think there's a question mark about DeAndre Ayton's maturity. I do think there's a question mark about how he's going to handle stardom and attention, because he really revels in being the center of attention. And there's a little Shaq there, and that wasn't always a good thing for Shaq. Shaq was charming. Shaq enjoyed being laughed at. He enjoyed being the center of attention, but that oftentimes could be a distraction for him and took away from the seriousness in which he took his job. I don't think Shaq, and I think most people would agree that follow the sport, Shaq did not get the most out of his career. However, if you get Shaq's career out of DeAndre Ayton, you cannot be upset. Obviously, one of the great big men of all time. Shaq was so good and so physically dominant, he didn't have to be locked in 100% of the time to still be a Hall of Famer, a 4-time champion, and an all-time great. I think DeAndre Ayton has those big, lovable, charismatic, big man tendencies. And he's still young, so it's hard to know how serious he'll take the work and developing his game at the next level, especially as a number one draft pick, especially staying close to home, especially being part of a team where that fan base already is so familiar with him, they want to make him a hero right off the bat and are desperate for a hero. So I do think there's question marks when it comes to Ayton, but I also think you can't pass on him because he checks so many boxes. And to get a guy like a Karl-Anthony Towns or an Anthony Davis, to get a guy at the five like a Joel Embiid, Embiid is a type of guy as well who is big-time personality, big-time charisma. I think there's part of this where Ayton is trying to go and say, hey, look at me. I like being the center of attention. I can be goofy. I can be fun. I can sing. There's an interesting profile done on him in Sports Illustrated a couple of weeks ago where he is bragging about his singing ability and wanted to sing the national anthem, Star Spangled Banner, at a potential game. So there's a part of this that you go, okay, is he just being a big kid and fun? Or is he really serious about this because he's going to be the number one pick? But I just think if you're the Suns, you've just got to go with it because he just checks so many boxes and because he can be so physically imposing and because I don't think we've even scratched much of the surface about what his potential could be in just 1 year in college. I think his potential is huge and you got to go there if you're the Suns. And then, by the way, suddenly, if you give me DeAndre Ayton down low and Devin Booker on the outside, the Suns with some other lottery picks that they already have because, well, let's face it, they're always bad. They have some pieces here to at least be interesting. Maybe not great, but at least interesting. And there's some rumors that they might trade back up into the lottery to get a guy like Trae Young, a potential scorer in the NBA draft. Phoenix making moves, and at that number one slot, I think they've got to double down and take DeAndre Ayton, the big man out of Arizona. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number, 855-212-4227. Now, remember, the last time we saw Ayton on the floor, Arizona's getting punked by Buffalo in the tournament. Arizona was a 3 seed, a 4 seed, and they fell to the 13, the Buffalo Bulls. Not the Bills, the Bulls, and got waxed 89-68. And in that game, DeAndre Ayton only had 14 points. It was a rough game for everybody. He got very frustrated. The Arizona Wildcats got frustrated. They got out-coached. They got out-executed. They got bullied by a Buffalo team. So that is a worry. But the day after the news dropped of DeAndre Ayton potentially taking money in college, which I don't think you can hold against him in terms of his NBA career because he'll be taking money the NBA level, but this time legally, was a game in which he dominated Arizona State after that news. He had 25-16, and they beat up on ASU in that game. So there was a rise to the moment, I'll show them performance from Ayton, which I definitely liked seeing as an NBA potential prospect. So when we come back here on the show, when it comes to the NBA, we all know that at the end of games, they bog down into a march, a marathon of free throw shooting. We all know the hack-a-shack and how that has been used, hack-a-DeAndre Jordan. That's been used to slow down games, purposefully foul. I mean, even the Golden State Warriors were doing that in the Western Conference Finals in game number 7. I mean, when the best team of the NBA with the most talent that plays the most flow, fluid style of hoops is still doing hack a blank, that's an issue for the NBA. And there's one totally revolutionary idea that's going to kind of take you a little time to let it sink into your mind, Grapes, that's getting a little bit of traction around circles in the league. We'll get to that coming up next. Could it work? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Good Trash Tuesday to you, everybody. Hit us up with your trashings on Facebook and on Twitter. DA on CBS on Twitter. Facebook is facebook.com/TheDAShow. And watch the simulcast, won't you? Right now, it's going. Right now, it's cooking. And right now, it's glorious. That's watchda.com. That is mobile friendly. As we all know, at the end of any NBA game, or really now college basketball game as well, it bogs down into a marathon, a march, a never-ending death march to the free throw line. The team that is trailing just continues to foul, to stop the clock, hoping that the opponent misses those free throws. And there's nothing as inspiring as watching a free throw contest down the stretch of a big-time, exciting NBA playoff game. Oh, good. We played 44 minutes of basketball in some type of free-flowing offenses versus defenses type of scheme. And now let's just halt that and get everybody to a free throw line that we can see guys with no action just hoist the basketball up. Free throws. It's where you want to be. The NBA realizes this. Now, the NBA realizes that there are ways they can change this, but they have to be careful because you can't change the essence of the game. People will come out of the woodwork and start saying that the NBA is broken. The NBA is not what it used to be. The NBA is this or that. But there's some brains behind this new plan that's going to take you a little bit of time to digest. According to ESPN's Zach Lowe, two members, influential members of the NBA's new school are behind this. Rockets GM Daryl Morey, who is always seen as a bit of a revolutionary, and Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban. Okay, so hear me out here. Whatever the score of the game is, let's say it's Warriors-Cavs coming down to the fourth quarter to the four-minute mark. And let's say the Warriors lead 80-70. Okay? Warriors lead 80-70 in the NBA Finals. And the Cavs go, well, we need to foul the Warriors consistently. We're just going to hack them, send them to the free throw line, and hope they miss free throws. Now, it's not a good strategy against a team like the Warriors because they have so many shooters. But you get a guy on the floor that can't hit his free throws, and you take your chances, right? In this new scenario, the clock would stop after the first timeout after the four-minute mark. So 4 minutes to go in the game, and ball goes out of bounds. Or there's a foul. Or there's a missed free throw. Whatever the dead ball is in the whistle. Even a timeout. Coach calls a timeout. Steve Kerr calls a timeout with 3:59 to play, fourth quarter NBA Finals. Warriors lead 80-70. Clock goes dark. No more clock. Now, the officials say first one to 87. It's adding 7 points to the leading team's score. So right here, Warriors lead 80-70. You say first one to 87. So the Warriors only got to get 7 points to wrap this thing up. But the Cavaliers got to score 17 points before the Warriors score seven. What this does is instead of hacking the opponent, stopping the clock, and making you have to go through the free throw procession, it's forcing the teams that trail to get defensive stops. Because you can't then just afford to put the team that's leading at the free throw line because you'll never catch up that way, or they're just simply going to knock down a few free throws and then basically ice the game. So what you're asking for, you're hoping for, is that the team that trails has to literally play defense as well as they can without fouling, hoping to keep the flow in the game. What you're hoping for there also is that you're getting actual buzzer beaters. You're actually getting close games. You're actually getting back and forth action at the end of games instead of just hack a free throw to death until time runs out, and then you hold the final possession. So you really couldn't just hold the ball until the time expires. You couldn't just keep passing it around, dragging clock out. You'd actually have to hit a shot. The only way you could win is one if the ball goes in the basket. It's the only way you can actually win is if the final play of the game is a ball going in a basket. You've got to hit 7 points above the game-leading total, whatever team leads. Now you start kicking this thing around and you're going, ah, this is too revolutionary. It's too outside the box because now we've got no clock. No clock. You're just arbitrarily adding 7 points. Why is it 7? Why isn't it 6? Why isn't it 5? Why isn't it 10? Also, is this really eradicate the free throws? Because inevitably there's going to be whistles blown in the final 4 minutes, so there's going to be free throws anyway. But Mraz, you read through this. We had a conversation before the show, and you've come around on this idea.
My immediate reaction was, this is stupid. Don't change the game. And about 3 minutes after, they're actually taking the time to read something for once.
Wow.
Wow,
see
I know.
See how that could work?
See how that changes? I stopped. I thought about it. I said, I kind of like this. Because one of my biggest gripes with the NBA or college basketball is, just stop fouling at the end of games. It drags on and it kills the whole momentum of what was otherwise a back-and-forth exciting affair. If you take that apart, I think it adds a little more thrill to the end. And you could still get the hope for a buzzer beater if two teams are sitting there. It won't be a buzzer beater, but they end up tied and they're each dogging it out for those last 2 points, that last shot win scenario. I like it. I think it's a win-win. And how often are you going to be there beyond what would have been the 4 minutes to play the game anyway? If anything, you're out of there quicker instead of the stopping of the fouls.
And if we think back to the NBA Finals if this were instituted, when you're looking at game number one, it's not that the Cavaliers can drain the clock if they do get that 1 point to give them the lead there. It's not that the Warriors only have 4 seconds to get off a shot. There is no time, so you've got to get a defensive stop. You literally have to make sure the opposing team doesn't make that shot because there is no shot clock that will expire. Well, there's a shot clock, I suppose, but there is no game clock that you get squeezed into. You've got to get the stop.
You're putting defense back into the game, and how many people have griped about that there's no defense played? It's just an aerial assault. Now, we'll have to see if the refs are going to call ticky-tack stuff and just make it all about the offense. Maybe that doesn't change. But if you're adding defense and having the ability to play defense, you're slamming your hands on the hardwood floor, you need some stops here to rally, I like that. A little tenacity back in the game.
You want the tenacity. Well, see, here's the thing. There is a way to eradicate the hack-a-shack and the intentional foul at the end of games. That is to call intentional fouls flagrant fouls, which is why I don't understand why this isn't the easiest fix ever for the NBA. When you do a hack-a-shack, a hack-a-DeAndre Jordan, a hack-a-Clint Capella, whatever, you are not fouling within a basketball play. You are just fouling. You're grabbing the guy to foul him to send him to the free throw line. That can be a flagrant foul. It's an intentional foul, not in the flow of the game. What they should do is just make that 2 free throws and the ball. And then you'd get rid of intentional fouls. That means you can't just grab a guy, bear hug him as soon as the ball is inbounded, hug him away from the play. That would immediately discount that. I wish that they would just do that so that there is no hack of DeAndre Jordan or Clint Capella or whoever. And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, make your free throws, DA. Make your free throws, DA. Look, yeah, you can teach or you can mandate a bunch of guys try to make their free throws. That doesn't also stop, as Mraz just alluded to, the never-ending parade of fouls down the stretch. They are intentional fouls. They are stopping the clock without the ball really being, without that foul being in the flow of the game. And I realize that's an interpretation. That's a hard interpretation for coaches or for referees, rather. But if you think that the foul is not in the flow of play and simply to stop the clock, that can be a flagrant foul. 2 shots and the ball. And that stops it pretty quickly. And then you still got to get stops. You can't just intentionally foul. To me, that's the easier, cleaner way of trying to clean this thing up. But I'm open to anything that would help this never-ending parade of free throws and foul fests down the stretch of basketball games. It's ridiculous. The hack is whack. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Coming up here next. Trash Tuesday. Get your trashes in. Hit me on Twitter. Hit me on Facebook. We'll read through the trashes and get to your trashes from us, the show staff, here in the studio next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
It just dawned on me. Jacksonville. Was that named after Michael Jackson?
Yes.
Is that how the elephant got there?
Yeah, they named Jacksonville after Michael Jackson.
I never freaking knew that.
How can you not know that?
That's awesome.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
One of the great moments in recent DA show history occurred yesterday, and you know we had to put it on the board, yes, for the potential 12 DAs of Christmas. Jacksonville, named after the Jackson 5, of course, in Mraz's mind. 855-212-4CBS. If it's something you want to trash, someone you want to trash, get it in. 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. As I mentioned, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Dave is in Boise, Idaho, listening to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, DA.
What's up, bud?
You have a great idea with the fouls, and it's better than mine because I watch these games and it just makes me crazy the last 4 minutes.
Which
I wonder why they don't make it like the NFL, where if you foul the guy away from the ball, the team that's fouled has the option of declining the foul shots, taking the ball out, but the foul would still count, you know, on the player who committed the foul.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that's a fine idea as well. I think that there are tweaks here that the NBA has been resistant to making for whatever reason that I think are kind of easy fixes. That's fine. You can decline the actual foul shots and just keep taking the ball out of bounds. That you just continued with the possession, forcing the team that's trailing to actually get a defensive stop. Or if it's a foul away from the ball, intentional to get a guy at the free throw line, then it's two shots and possession. Or as Rob tweets in, DA, easy fix. If they foul a guy off the ball in a hack a DeAndre Jordan or hack a Shaq situation, anybody can shoot the free throws. You foul JaVale McGee, Steph Curry can shoot him. I think that's a fair fix as well. There's no reason it should be part of the game to intentionally foul poor free throw shooters just to bog down the rhythm of a game at the end where it could be a fun finish. Jared tweets, there's nothing they can do to make this worse. It's the only sport where the end of the game is the worst part of the game. And that's true. The later it gets to the game, the worse the action is, usually. Got to be able to fix it. It's a Trash Tuesday.
So what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I got to trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
I'm going to stick with what I originally had, though. I've just spotted on Facebook that Peter Schwartz's kids got another foul ball last night at a minor league baseball game. That never seems to end.
One foul ball, or is this another night where...
One, and they participated in an on-field contest.
Haven't you learned your lesson to keep his kids' names out of your mouth?
Not his names. I'm just saying, Pete, denies. They just got lucky again.
So why do you follow him on social media if everything he posts is so aggravating?
Because, I do like the man. I think he's a, you know, it would be awkward to say, hey, we're not friends anymore.
Well, I mean, just go, what you post on social media aggravates me, and I just can't follow anymore.
Because he'll take that to heart and take it sensitive.
You can do, Facebook has like one of those mute functions where they don't know that you're not seeing them, but you're not.
You know what? It's like smelling a bad breath on a dog. It's like, oh, it's atrocious, but you got to get your nose in there.
You got to. I don't know why you have to. It's interesting because you think what's being kinder to a sensitive Peter Schwartz is trashing him and his kids on the air versus just not following him on social media.
I
want to be mean here.
That wasn't my initial trash, but I mean, 30 seconds before you go to me, I just turned my head to my computer and go, you got to be kidding me.
What game was it?
Long Island Ducks versus, I don't know, who, the Riverdale Monsters? Who knows who they were playing last night?
And they just have one of the kids holding up a baseball?
Yeah, and then video of one of the kids throwing something during an in-between inning contest, and Pete's sitting there in the cargo shorts all, you know, happy.
Hey, I'm Peter Schwartz.
So, yeah, matters is our plan.
It never ends.
Never ends.
It never ends.
But, hey, right place, right time, I'm sure.
Always right place, right time. They just happen to get on the field for the contest.
They're extremely polite. They never knock down anybody for baseballs. They always ask very nicely for everything that they ever get at a game. And they're just right place, right time.
It never ends. But just real quickly, I'll get through my real trash real quick.
Is it possible that they actually bring giant elongated fishing nets?
Yeah, like
games?
They used to at the old stadiums.
Yeah. Yeah,
the only people in there, by the way, for independent league batting practice, too early to get the balls. So my real trash is, I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's a summer thing. I am now on 5 consecutive supermarket trips to different supermarkets, mind you, where I can't buy just plastic forks. I could buy just plastic spoons. I could buy just plastic knives. But I want the forks. I got to get the mix. I got to get 8 forks, 8 spoons, 8 knives. I just want the damn forks. And I don't know what's going on, if they stopped manufacturing them, every company, or if they're just flying off the shelves for summer barbecues. But last night was trip number 5 in the last 3 weeks to a supermarket, and I can't find a plastic fork. And if I keep looking at Pete's Facebook, I'm going to need one to gouge my eyeballs out.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. It must be just people are grabbing the box of forks. They can't keep them on the store shelf.
Can't keep them up, but I don't want the spoons and knives. I just want the forks.
Unless this is...
Who buys just knives, too?
Unless this is a way... Nobody. Unless this is a way for the plastic silverware companies to distribute knives and spoons because nobody would buy them otherwise.
So don't make them. Stop wasting them. We should be going green anyway. Nobody's buying them. Don't make them.
Forks. All forks all the time.
You're
cutting your steak with forks.
I don't care. Just give me a fork.
Eating your soup with forks.
Yeah, you're eating your soup with forks, cutting your steak with forks.
I'm telling you, it's my patience is wearing thin with this fork situation.
All right, Andrew Bogish, who are you trashing?
DA, you were there for the live beginning of this trash over the weekend. My wife and I and some friends were in Philadelphia, saw a concert Saturday afternoon. Now, as a New Yorker, born and bred to dislike Philadelphia, just part of the custom here. But as an adult, I've put that aside, my pettiness, and actually come to appreciate Philadelphia. It's a beautiful city, great food options. My kids love the zoo.
Great history.
Great history. It's close to New York. I'm walking around Old Town, I think they call it, or Old City.
Tremendously
on
polite and thinking, decorum,
you know what, Philly,
sports fans.
Yeah, Philly, this is the place. This is a nice place. I got to stop being mean to Philly. Hey, let's get some beers to drink before the concert tonight back at the hotel. Great idea. Mm-hmm. We go into one convenience store. Do you not sell beer? Walking around aimlessly, cooler, nothing. You can milk, Gatorade, whatever you need, no beer. Go to the register. As we're asking the clerk, a lady online goes, "Welcome to Pennsylvania." So apparently the liquor laws in Pennsylvania preclude such stores from selling beer in them. Your options are to drink it in a bar, to find a bar that will sell you a six-pack, or to randomly find a convenience store that sells beer.
Well, a convenience store or like a beer or liquor store?
A distributor.
Yes.
Not a convenience store. Not Wawa. Right. Not 7-Eleven. You need to find a beer distributor.
Gas stations, no. Convenience store, no. Grocery store, no. You got to find one of the
beer and liquor
place. Yeah.
It's like they don't want you to drink.
Which maybe that's for Eagles fans?
I don't know. Now, the side tweet is there were far too many Eagles fly chants at the concert every down moment Saturday night. But the bigger thing is, I just want to buy some beer and drink it in my room in a hotel. Why is it so hard, Philadelphia?
Those states
are... And it wasn't Sunday either.
Those states are difficult to maneuver. I know. I've lived in a few of those states. It's difficult to maneuver when you know you got to get to a beer store, and then you got to make sure you get them, especially if there's a Sunday blue law.
Right.
You can't buy it at a Sunday. That's a tough spot.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
So the question is, are these basically the Kenny Brock rules where you just don't want to let You don't want to give Brock and his kind too many easy opportunities to drink beer.
But unless this is why they're always angry, because it takes them an hour and a half to get to beer.
But so this must not be just Philadelphia. This must be
Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh as well, yeah, and everywhere in between. That's got to be a tough spot for Steelers fans. Listen right now, Erie, PA, home of Katie Linnedahl.
Right.
Knowing that you can't just go to a gas station and get a six-pack, that's a tough spot.
Yeah, you guys complain about East Coast bias. Here, this part of the East Coast, I can buy beer anywhere I want,
yeah,
any time of day. That's why you should live here.
You know what you do with those laws? Get them out.
Get them out. I was such a fan of living in Missouri, because in Missouri, gas stations, like a Store 24 or whatever, these things not only carry all the beer that you want, but all the liquor you want as well. So right, you go to a gas station, you get a full bottle of any type of booze.
That's why.
I mean, and you're talking about also, you know, the Midwest, you can get yourself a soda that's 64 ounces. So you can not only get soda for the rest of the week in one cup, you get whatever bottle of vodka you want, full size, not minis. You can get whatever case of beer you want. And you get a hot dog or a taquito on that roller. I mean, you've done your grocery shopping for a week.
One-stop shopping.
Really? That's what the forefathers envisioned.
And that's right. And that's a gas station. Right. And I can fill up. You know? But instead, you're putzing around Pennsylvania.
Wasting drinking time.
Wasting. What concert was this?
Dave Matthews. Moving on.
Oh. Here we go.
Easy, Kenny Chesney.
Are you an anti-DMB guy?
It's not DMB themselves. It's the DMB culture that we live in, where, like, they're the only band that existed. They're the best to see them live. Dave Matthews fans, get them out.
Get them out?
Losers.
Get them out.
Get them out. Get
them out. Wow. How were the DMB fans where you went?
The Eagle version of them were terrible. But the non-Eagle DMB fans were fine.
A lot of Eagles jerseys in the crowd?
Eagles jerseys, Eagles t-shirts, Eagles tank tops, Eagles chants, Eagles coolers, Eagles chairs. We get it. You won the Super Bowl.
Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
I am trashing the inconsiderate people that smoke e-cigs, and I'm getting really tired of it. They have to go every place and smoke the e-cigs. In the mall, in a shopping center, in anything, in a restaurant, I have to see them constantly puffing away, and they think, oh, there's nothing wrong with it, that the e-cigs will just take away all the diseases that could happen to you while you're smoking them. And now I gotta smell them. I had one person come up to me in Long Beach, stop, blow their cigarette smoke in my face. Enough. Get them out.
Good for them.
Stinky debris.
Get them out. Wow, they just, why would somebody with an e-cig blow it right in your face on purpose? Were they mad at you?
No, they just were inconsiderate, and they don't know better. So get them out.
Get them out.
No.
So it's turned into a get them out Tuesday now.
Get them out.
This is nobody's fault, but I am trashing when you put on your Google Maps or your Waze app or whatever navigation device you use to get around, and then you get caught in traffic, and the time that you're supposed to arrive at home or your destination just keeps increasing. Sunday, I go back home to see my dad. Father's Day, do a little barbecue, cook out, spend some time with them, which is very cool. On my way back into New York City, obviously traffic is an absolute nightmare. Everybody flees as soon as it's nice around here, so they don't have to bake in the cement city. So we come back in, and there's a 23-minute delay at the George Washington Bridge. And I'm sitting there in traffic, and I'm looking at my destination is supposed to be, I'm supposed to be at home at 10:23. And it becomes 10:25. 10:33. 10:42. And you're just sitting there, and it is taunting you. Every step of the way, it is like, yeah, I just want to remind you, you're farther away from home than you've ever been. I just want to remind you, you decided to take this route. I just want to remind you that you're in traffic, and we told you there was going to be traffic. We told you there's a 23-minute delay, and there is. And it is just like somebody sticking their thumb in your eye and shoving it in, like, you can't do anything about it. Can't do anything about it. I just want to remind you, you are a moron.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Josh is in York, PA to help clarify beer distribution laws in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Josh.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Pretty good. I don't know if Southern Pennsylvania is different than Philly. I mean, it's really not that hard to get beer here. You just got to go to a supermarket.
So the supermarkets do carry them.
I'm walking where I was. There was my option was luckily stumbling upon the Ben Franklin beer distributor. No 7-Eleven, no CVS, nothing.
Yeah, Giant, Wise, Food Lion.
Okay, so grocery stores will carry the beer in the PA. You just can't get it at the gas station or convenience store.
You can get it on Sundays, too, all night, all up until like maybe 10 or 11 when the supermarket's closed.
Thank God.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Because I'm telling you, Ben Franklin needed a cold one.
Of course he did.
All those guys that worked on the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence, those peeps, they needed ice-cold beers.
They wanted it.
That's right. That was July 4th, remember? They're cooking that thing up with feather pens. You know, they're dipping those quills in ink. They're getting out of that hot, steamy room, bundle of compromises, going, hey, give me an ice-cold lager here. I don't want to have to travel around this whole city to find one. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.